We want to welcome those that are joining us online today, as well as our Westside campus. We're glad that you're with us. And I'm wondering this morning, how many of you have ever had to deal with the incessant why questions of a toddler or two-year-old? Anybody here? All right. Now, if you haven't yet had that experience, or if it's been a while since you've experienced that joy, then this video clip may help kind of bring you up to speed on what that's like.
Why?
No, kids can't have coffee.
Why?
Because coffee is for big people.
Why?
Because little kids can't drink it. It makes you too hyper.
Why make me too hyper? Give me a little bit.
No. I'm not driving.
Why?
Because my mom's driving. It's the same color like Daddy's house.
Why?
Because the building is red.
Why building is red?
Because it's made of bricks.
Why made of bricks?
Because bricks hold up well and they don't fall. We're gonna leave soon, okay?
Why?
Because we've been here for a long time.
Oh, kids are great, aren't they? Kudos to that mom for being so patient. Although I think she knew she was being videotaped, so she kind of needed to be careful there. Well, we're going to spend a lot of time today looking at why. And as soon as I say that, some of you are going to ask, well, why are we going to do that? Well, I'm so glad you asked. A number of years ago, there was a well-known business author named Simon Sinek who wrote a book called Start With Why. Start With Why. And the premise of the book is that if you start with the wrong questions, like what or how, and we don't understand the why, which provides the reason and the purpose, then even though we might come up with the right answers to those questions, they could possibly take us in the wrong direction. Now, this is no way to start a sermon where you want to encourage people, but I just got to say, before we go any farther, I might as well tell you up front that a number of you are probably not going to appreciate the message at all today. Okay? That's not a good way to start. You may not even want to be open to what we're going to look at, because honestly, if you do, it's going to interrupt your life, and it could get in the way of some of the things that you would rather pursue. Now, having said that, I do want to say that it's not your fault, because the reality is that a majority of the messages that we try to provide each week are delivered intentionally to encourage you and to inspire you and to assist you in your journey of faith. They're intended to provide biblical principles to help your life be able to function better and to help you overcome some of the challenges that we face every day in this fallen world as followers of Christ. The challenge with what we're going to look at today is that this is something that you're going to have to decide to do, and you'll have to decide to incorporate it into your life. And if you choose to do so, it's probably going to be uncomfortable, and it's probably going to be inconvenient. And literally, it's why I would have to admit that I'm not as good at it as I should be. And I'm the pastor, the one talking about it. I'm going to talk about something that as Christ followers, we're all responsible for, but most of us would probably rather not be. But don't feel too bad. It's something that Christ followers really have been kind of struggling with since the beginning of time. And I want to say, if you're here today and you are not a follower of Christ, please don't check out this morning. Listen carefully if you would, because laced throughout this message is a message from God that he desperately wants you to hear as well. In fact, I want to pause right now and let's pray for the people here that aren't Christ followers and even those online. Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of everyone's heart, but especially those who need to know you today. We ask that in Jesus' name, amen. We're kicking off a new series today, and in honor of school being back in session, kids, can I get an amen? Probably not. In school being in session, I've given the series an equation for the title. Now, I just want you to know that that is a stretch for me, because honestly, I am not fond of equations at all. Because I did fine with math in school until they started incorporating the alphabet, which I thought was for language arts, not math. And they didn't stick with numbers. And so you'll notice the equation is y squared equals what plus how? Y squared equals what plus how? And the series is really to unpack the mission and vision of Academy Christian Church. And the last time that we took a look at this was right about the time we went into lockdown because of COVID, which in that moment changed a lot about the way we did church, and it's still impacting us today. And so before we get to that equation, I thought it might be helpful to start with the question, why is why so important? Why is that even necessary? Why is it such a big deal? Why is that? Have I asked enough whys yet? The answers that I would say, first of all, would be, number one, the why serves as a compass. When you know the why, it serves as a compass. Before you really do anything you do, it really is a good idea to ask yourself why. Because why can help you know what you need to keep doing as well as what you maybe need to stop doing. And that's because the answer to why gives you the reason and the purpose. And it communicates to you from the inside out rather than the outside in, which is based on intrinsic motivation, which is the most powerful form of motivation. Now, this is important because the why often gets lost in the daily grind of details and routine. We just do stuff, and then we forget why. When you do the same things the same way long enough, you can tend to forget even why you're doing them in the first place. Now, I'm sorry, the best example of this is a pretty well-used illustration, but there was a family having a Thanksgiving dinner, and the mom was in the kitchen getting ready to put the ham in the oven, and the daughter was there watching and noticed that the mom cut the ends off the ham before she put it in the pan. And the little girl said, "Well, Mom, why did you cut the ends off the ham?" And she thought for a moment, she says, "You know what? I have no idea why I cut the ends off the ham. That's what my mother did." And so she's out in the living room. "Why don't you go ask her?" So she walked out and said, "Grandma, why did you cut the ends off the ham before you put it in the pan?" And the mom said, she said, "Well, that's very simple. Because my pan was too small." There was a good reason for it. But they had lost really the meaning of why. So why really serves as a compass. Secondly, the why provides reasons not to give up. If we understand the why, we're going to stick with something and be able to come up with a lot more than if we don't know the why. The why is what identifies the meaning and the impact and the importance of what we're doing, which is vital because when you have a big enough why, you'll be determined to figure out the what and the how. And I saw that illustrated Friday evening. I was watching a special that detailed the events of 9/11 surrounding United Flight 93. And you guys may know the story. After the hijackers had taken control, the passengers were herded to the back of the plane. Now, fortunately, they were still able to make contact with the outside world through cell phones. And they learned in their flight that there are three other planes that had been used as missiles to fly into buildings that day. And it became very obvious to them that that was what was intended for their plane that they were on. And so they knew they needed to do something. They had a big why, because they knew if they didn't act, then they would end up like those other three planes and even more people would die. And I think that's what kept them going on that day. Well, thirdly, why is important? Because why is about what we can give to the next generation. And us that are in our 40s, 50s, and 60s, we really need to think about that. You know, people go to work every day to earn a living. But many of us would also like to be a part of something that is bigger and more significant and lasting. And what I hear today, our young people, that's important to them. They want to live lives that make a difference so that the world can be a better place. And so maybe instead of telling our young people, you know, what and how to do it, maybe we ought to be telling them the why it's important. And then they'll go to work and figure out the what and the how. So to give you an idea of where we're going to be in this series and how it unfolds today, we're going to start with why. And then the next 2 weeks, we're going to dive into the what and the how. Now, of course, if you go back to that equation, y squared would mean that there are two y's in the equation. And so the first y in the equation is the why. Why do we do what we do? And that's important for a church to ask themselves, why do we do what we do? Why is the church so interested in reaching people for Christ and helping them grow up in their faith? And I believe really that there are two vital answers to that question. The first of which is because we have a God-given directive. God has told us that's what we're supposed to do. And we know that because after Jesus spent 3 years developing a team of leaders and preparing them, and then died on the cross and then rose again, after spending about 40 days on earth, right before he returned to the Father, he gave some very specific instructions to his followers. And those are found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And he made that clear up front because he said, I'm giving you permission to do this based on the authority that I have over all the earth. So you do this in my authority. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, someone might ask, weren't those instructions just given to those people specifically? Well, the reason we know it's not is because Jesus was telling them that this was going to be happening, in those words, to the end of the age. I don't think we've reached the end of the age yet. And what Jesus revealed there really are the two great responsibilities that we have as a church: to make sure that as many people as possible have an opportunity to know Christ, and then to help them be able to align themselves with his way of life. Now, our churchy words for that, you can probably guess, are evangelism and discipleship, the two main tasks of the church. And so if you want to know why the church is so concerned about reaching lost people, it's because we have a God-given directive. Jesus called his people to be fishers of men, not just keepers of the aquarium. And a lot of time we get the aquarium the way we want, and we want to take care of that. The second answer to the question that why we do what we do is because God's design is that his people tell other people about him. That's God's design, that his people tell other people about him. Now, it's true that in that mix, there are some gifted people by the Holy Spirit who have the gift of evangelism. And these people have amazing experiences. They're the ones who, you know, they sit down on an airplane next to someone and it takes off, and before the plane lands, they will have led the person in the seat next to them to Christ. I mean, that's how it works. And just so you know, I would love to, but I've never experienced that. But if we're going to reach this world for Christ, we desperately need people with this gift expressing it to help us get more people in. Probably the best example I see of that at Academy Christian Church is Julie Nielsen, our children's pastor. She has this incredible passion for children to know Christ and a commitment to see it happen. And so she's very effective at not only leading children to Christ, but also even their parents as well. But you know, the Bible is clear, folks, that while not all of us may have the gift of evangelism, we all have a responsibility for evangelism. We all have a responsibility for that. And the Apostle Paul makes that clear when he instructs some Christ followers in the ancient city of Corinth. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, here's what he says. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And if you're here this morning and you've been reconciled to God, just take that in for a moment. Because that's the best thing that's ever going to happen to you in your life. And then it says, and then he gave us that ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Now, I don't know who you are, but that is probably going to be the best news you're going to hear all day. God actually will not count our sins against us. And then it says, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. In fact, what I'd like for you to do, if you would, please just read those words aloud with me, if you would. Ready? And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And he even paints a better picture because he says in the next verse, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And if you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Christ, I would want to say that same thing. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It can happen for anyone. Well, right now, This is going to be kind of weird, just to let you know. I'd like for you all to stand. Okay? It's going to kind of be like a seventh inning stretch. Okay? Get the blood flowing a little bit there. And all of you who are Christ followers, so I would not expect this of you for a Christ follower, I'd like for you to raise your right hand. I'm left-handed, so I start with the other one. I'd like you to raise your left hand, and I'd like you to just take a little pledge. Your right hand. Take a little pledge. And I promise you, what you're going to say is nothing that a committed follower of Christ should not be committed to. Are you ready? Just repeat after me. I promise to fulfill my responsibility as an ambassador for Christ. So help me God. All right, you've been duly sworn in as ambassadors for Christ. Okay, you can go ahead and be seated. And I just want you to know that those God-given responsibilities are the why, they're the why behind the mission and the vision of Academy Christian Church. Because the church isn't supposed to be about what we want it to be about. It's supposed to be about what Christ wants it to be about. And that's why our mission, folks, when we went to the scripture and said, what does Jesus want us to do? We decided to put it in this phrase. We want to create Christ followers who create Christ followers. That's our mission. Now, when I say that, a lot of people might ask and say, well, Brian, what is a Christ follower? Well, there's a lot of ways to identify a Christ follower. But the one I think I resonate with the most is this. A Christ follower is someone who has surrendered their life to Christ in order to follow his way of life. A Christ follower is someone who has surrendered their life to Christ in order to follow his way of life. And when you make that surrender, that's when the grace of God covers your sin and you get the gift of the Holy Spirit and you've reoriented your life to follow his way of life. And it will require that surrender in order to be able to follow his way of life. Well, it was back in 2018 that mission led us to what I believe is a God-sized vision. It's a big vision. And our vision is this. To provide the opportunity for at least 100,000 people living in proximity to our church, means anywhere in the Pikes Peak region, really, to experience the message of Christ and his love. Now, I got to be honest, we're almost 3 years in, and honestly, we're way behind if we're going to meet that goal. Now, I realize that we're not as behind as we think we are because many of you do this all the time. You point people to God, but you never report it. And so it's really what you're doing, and it's really pointing people in God's direction is all we can do, because you can lead someone to Christ, but you can't make them become his follower. Now, as soon as we say this, it happens all the time in churches, because people say, hey, if we reach all these people for Christ, won't the church get too big? I mean, I like our church the size it is. And that happens. It is comfortable. We like the church the size it is. And so a lot of people say, well, what is the right size of a church? Because there are churches of every size. The answer I would say would be this. The right size church is the size it currently is while continuing to reach more people. The right size of the church is the size it currently is while continuing to reach more people. And I say that because what if Academy Christian had decided just 3 years ago that we had reached all the people we wanted, and we decided that we would no longer be having services open to the public? So you couldn't come today if it was in the last 3 years. What if it was in the last 5 years, or the last 10 years, or the last 20 years? See, what we always have to keep in mind is that the church is one of the few institutions that exists primarily for those that are not yet a part of it. That's why it's on this earth. Which really brings us to the second why. There's two whys, remember, which is critical, I think, to understand why God gave us the first directive. And so the reason why we do what we do is because we have a God-given directive, and it's God's design that his people tell other people about him. And so the second why would need to be asked would be this. Why is that so important? Why is that so important? What is the big deal about telling people about Jesus? And I hope you know why. It's because everyone is going to spend eternity somewhere. Everyone is going to spend eternity somewhere. And There's a verse in the Bible we don't really often want to think about. It's in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And it says, just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. I hate to keep reminding you, but you got to remember, folks, that the death rate in El Paso County hovers right around 100%. And don't move to another county because it will be the same there. But I think the problem with that is that you may think that you've got some time before that might happen, that it would really take place. And none of us really know how long. In fact, there's a good friend of mine right now who has stage 4 cancer. And within literally a week, he went from the doctor telling him he had 6 months to live to telling him he had 3 weeks to live. And I want you to think about 20 years ago yesterday. There were nearly 3,000 people that got up that morning and thought they were going to come home later that night and eat supper and that it would be a day almost like any other day. But it was a different day for them. It was the day they died once and then faced judgment. And you need to know that we didn't come up with this. Jesus literally tells us that after death, we will face judgment and there will be two different destinations. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, Jesus is giving kind of a judgment scene and he says, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And when I think about that, that's one of the options, eternal punishment. Can you imagine that? I mean, eternity is too long of a time to spend separated from God in eternal punishment. But that happens to people who don't know Christ. And that's why the last part of our vision statement says, because we want as many people as possible to go to heaven. We will become everyday missionaries, joining Jesus on his mission where we live and where we learn and where we work and where we play. And what was Jesus' mission? Jesus' mission was to seek and to save that which it was lost. And what also becomes clear in his teaching is that everyone's ultimate destination depends on knowing Jesus and on him knowing them. It depends on that. And we know that because in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to his followers, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, we hear that in our worldview today, and we say, well, that sounds a little exclusive, right? Until we verify that it does not exclude any man, woman, or child on the face of this planet. Everyone has equal access to Christ. The ground really is level at the foot of the cross. Now, let me explain real quickly what I mean by knowing Jesus and him knowing you. It's important for you not to know about Jesus, but be able to know him personally. And knowing Jesus means that you know him as your Savior and your Lord. As your Savior and your Lord. Or in other words, as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. I'd want to ask everybody here today, do you know Jesus that way? As the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. So what about him knowing you? Because you're like, well, Jesus, that's kind of weird. Jesus knows everyone. Well, I just want to say, as you might expect, there are people who will always try to act like Christians, but they aren't really, because they've never truly surrendered their life to him in order to follow his way of life. And so they're around, but they're still living how they want to live. In Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, there's a passage of scripture that always kind of shakes me up when I read it. Because to me, it's kind of scary. Because Jesus says there, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. You know, he says that because you can say, Lord, Lord, and Jesus isn't really Lord, Lord. Not everyone who says it will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's why we have to surrender. We're not saved by what we do, but that surrender makes us follow what God wants us to do. And then he goes on and says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I mean, it looked like they were doing a lot of good religious things. See, what Jesus knew was that they really didn't know him. And so you can fool other people, but you'll never fool Jesus. Well, back in school, you may have learned that the air we breathe is made up of 80% nitrogen and 20% oxygen. But you probably give little thought to nitrogen in your life, right? You're a lot more concerned about oxygen if you were asked. And yet if someone asked you today, do you believe in nitrogen? You'd probably say yes. But if you were asked how nitrogen affected your life, you'd probably have a hard time coming up with a response. But you know, oxygen is a different story. You not only believe in it, but you also depend on it, and you know that you need it to be able to stay alive. You know how important the supply of oxygen is, and it can drive all sorts of your decisions, you know, from holding your breath while you're underwater to using that asthma inhaler to really be concerned about preserving our rainforest so we've got more oxygen. Well, the sad reality is that most people today are more like nitrogen believers in God. They believe that he's there, yet they rarely acknowledge that they have any need for him, let alone allow him to influence their thinking or the decisions that they make. And folks, you can fool other people, but you can't fool Jesus. Jesus knows if you are or are not truly his follower. Now, in your notes there's a continuum that we've placed as a picture there, and it's an important life continuum. And on the far left side, it says living far from God, and then on the far right side, it says fruitful for God. And every person on the earth today is somewhere on that continuum. And I'm wondering, if you're sitting there today, where would you place yourself? Zero, the zero being the place where we decide that we're going to surrender our life to Jesus, so that we can live a life, his way of life. And I got to say again today, if you're on the left side of zero, I mean, what would it take for you to go ahead and decide to follow Christ? Do you need some answers? We can help you with that, more information, just some encouragement. I just want to share with everybody here, but also the folks online, if that would be you, if you finally say, you know what, I've just been hanging around, but I haven't followed. There's actually a place you can text. You can text FOLLOW to 719-399-4344. Whether it's online or even if you're here today, and we'll follow up with you and help you in that journey. But if you are already a follower of Christ, your job and mine is to try to help as many people as possible move from living far from God, and sometimes they just take one step at a time, to becoming faithful for God. And so I got to close just with some great questions that the Apostle Paul shared with us in Romans chapter 10. He says, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom then they've not heard? And how are they going to hear if somebody doesn't tell them? See, you and I need to know that people who never think about God probably aren't going to be in heaven. And all God asks us to do is say, hey, can you maybe help get me on people's radar? They'll have to make the decision themselves, but we need you to get them on the radar. Let's pray. Father, it's incredible that you've given to us the ministry of reconciliation. When I look at sometimes how we're doing or how things are going, I'm not sure we were your best option, but you picked us, you chose us. And so I pray that you would empower us through your Spirit, that you'd give us courage and boldness. It's hard in this world today to speak up about Jesus and about you. But you've called us to be salt and light. And so would you in us create a motivation that wants to help the world know who Jesus is. It's in his name we pray. Amen.